on decisions.
Hey everybody, I'm Cam Stewart with your fantasy sports news update. The entire 2019 first round NFL draft now under contract. Just minutes ago, San Francisco defensive end Nick Bosa and Jets D lineman Quinnen Williams, the number 2 and 3 picks respectively, agreeing to rookie deals today. They were the only guys left to sign. The plane has left, and Ezekiel Elliott, he's not on it. Dallas Cowboys running back as Ezekiel Elliott wasn't aboard the team's flight today as a travel from Southern California for training camp today, according to the NFL Network. Elliott has been contemplating a holdout in an effort to accelerate extension talks with the team. Players aren't required to show up until Friday, and Saturday is the first practice for the boys. He has 2 years, including a fifth-year option left on his rookie deal. The 24-year-old, though, has led the NFL in rushing in 2 of 3 years in the league. New Orleans Saints receiver Michael Thomas also did not report to the team's facility today. The 26-year-old seeking a new deal, sources telling Adam Schefter from ESPN. Both parties have been negotiating for weeks, nothing done so far. The Saints reportedly offered Thomas a deal averaging between $18 and $19 million a year. Pretty good. However, he's seeking a contract that would make him the first receiver to earn an average of $20 million per season. Odell Beckham Jr. leads the wide receiver market right now with an $18 million salary. Thomas can be fined $40,000 a day for every day camp he misses. The two-time Pro Bowler had an NFL-leading 125 catches for over 1,400 yards and 9 touchdowns. The Pittsburgh Steelers have given head coach Mike Tomlin a one-year extension, and that keeps him under contract through 2021. Tomlin entering his 13th season at the helm for the Steelers, and he owns the distinction of being the youngest head coach to win a Super Bowl. Le'Veon Bell says he can handle up to 500 touches if it's going to help the New York Jets get their way to a Super Bowl. Jets coach Adam Gase said, hey, put the brakes on here. Stady doesn't want to overwork Bell, who sat out all of last year due to that contract dispute with the Steelers. Bell, a 3-time Pro Bowler, produced 1,946 scrimmage yards and tied a career high with 11 touchdowns in 2017. Tampa Bay Bucks defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul expected to return not until November, sources telling ESPN today. He suffered a fractured vertebrae in a May auto accident and decided to proceed with a non-surgical remedy. Pierre-Paul led the team with 12 and a half sacks in 2018. L.A. Chargers left tackle Russell Okung is recovering from a pulmonary embolism that suffered in June due to blood clots. Okung has been placed on the non-football illness list at the start of the Chargers training camp. The 30-year-old says, hey, he's on the path to recovery, and he does expect to play football this season. We have some live MLB action. A few games have gone final this afternoon. The New York Mets blanking San Diego 4-0. Jared DeGrom solid 7 innings on a 4-hitter, 9 Ks in the win. Lauer takes the loss. Mets closer Edwin Diaz injured in the 9th inning in this game. He took a liner from Manny Machado. He had to leave the game. Cardinals on fire. They doubled up Pittsburgh 6-3. Mikolas wins. Musgrove the loss. Paul Goldschmidt has homered in 4 straight games, and the Redbirds have now won 5 in a row. Rockies and Nationals still scoreless. They're in the bottom of 3. More bad news for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Ace Ian Snell is going to undergo surgery to remove a loose impediment in his elbow. The good news, the club expects the 26-year-old ace to be ready to return to action in September. Texas Rangers outfielder Joey Gallo will undergo surgery to repair a broken hamate bone in his right hand. No timetable for his return. Gallo has 22 homers and 49 ribbies in 70 games with the Rangers this year. We have a Major League Baseball deal. The LA Dodgers have acquired first baseman Tyler White from Houston for a minor leaguer, and the Minnesota Twins interested in Jays reliever Daniel Hudson. Here's the remainder of the MLB betting line. 7-10 action. Yankees $1.25 at Boston. Total 11. Tanaka and Porcello 8-10. Minnesota -145 at the White Sox. 8.5. Berrios and Giolito 8-15. Indians -50 at KC. Total 10. Plutko versus Montgomery. And 2 more at 10:07. We got Baltimore and the Angels. Angels -240. 10. Yoka Bonus and Suarez. Texas at Oakland. The A's laying 80 cents. 9.5. Heredo and Anderson. And 10:10. We got Detroit at Seattle. Mariners -170. 9.5 for Hagen versus Swanson. Dinners. A doubleheader in the CFL tonight. Calgary at Ottawa. Stamps -6. 50.5. Your total. Then at 9:30. Toronto at Edmonton. Eskimos -11.5. Total there. 51.5. NHL signings, the Sabres signed forward Evan Rodriguez to a 2-year deal. And round one of the PGA's FedEx St. Jude, John Rahm, the leader. Where were you last week, John? Well, you're 5-under now, 6 players, 1 shot back. And the rest of the tour in Reno, Nevada, the Modiford Stapleton scoring system, so plus is good. David Lingmerth, 18-over, Canadian leader. I'm Cam Stewart. Dave Morency hosts Red Heat and Rage Radio. We're going to talk some CFL football, some baseball, and a whole lot more. Everything in between, so stick around. Hour one of Red Heat and Rage Radio here on the Fantasy Sports Radio and Television Network, coming up next.
All you have to decide is what to do
time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions. Ready to Rage Radio has begun live from the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands Racetrack. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're throwing it down with Raging Redhead Cam Stewart. Whale Capper will join us in a couple of minutes. We're now 1 week away. 7 days from now at this time when we open up the show, we'll be saying we're just a couple hours away from the start of the National Football League preseason. Whale Capper steps up and in. Andrew McInnes will join us. We'll talk about this CFL doubleheader that's on tap. We've got baseball. We've got golf going on right now as we speak. And we've got the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart. What's up, Cam?
What's happening, Morenci? Yeah, no, it's going to be a busy afternoon for you, too. I'm looking at the Horse Race Channel. We got Del Mar going. We got Saratoga, Gulfstream, Arlington, the A-Tracks in full swing. You said it, CFL action tonight. Finally, we got two games on a Thursday night. Good call with you with the unders in baseball, too. That Cleveland-Toronto game, under of the year. What a performance by Bieber and Stroman. If he is going to be dealt, a nice way to go out with a brilliant performance in a loss.
Yeah, it was. We cashed the under in that game, but we did lose a couple of totals. We should have just been riding that Yankees-Twins series to the over after what we saw in game one. But we forge forward. We should note, Cam, they canceled the rest of the races at Saratoga. So no winners.
Really? I just made some bets. That sucks. I better get my money back. I put some early action in. Oh, that blows.
Really?
What? Rain? Heat?
I believe extreme heat.
Oh, boy. They're really being careful at that track. I got to hand it to the New York Racing Association, because these other California tracks, they're going to be a hurricane and an earthquake, and these guys will still run. But Saratoga's not screwing around with the heat, and these horses, they really care about their equine friends, which is nice.
No, they're really not. They don't want to be California.
Exactly. You know,
they don't want to see what's going on in California. And also, it's very, very, it's pretty stingent here. I was, the Meadowlands where we're at right now, Cam, Jeff Gurrell is very, very stingent. Like, there's random tests. It's like lifetime bans if you screw around. But the New York, it's same thing. Look, it took forever to legalize MMA here. A lot of red tape in New York. They don't play around, but you're right. And you know what? It's nice to see they're erring on the side of caution. They'll race tomorrow. It is what it is.
Yeah, I got no problem with it. Still lots of action.
Severe thunderstorms.
Oh, thunderstorms. Right now, yeah, too. That's the thing. Horses will run
days,
in the slot, but you can't deal
after,
with light.
Days after excessive heat led to cancellations. Final seven races now canceled due to severe weather.
Yep.
Severe weather.
They'd run in the rain, so it's got to be thunder and lightning storms. That's what will scare the horses. You don't need a big lightning bolt where they go bonkers and hit a rail or something crazy happens. We talked about Mark Lawrence's horse who jumped the rail and went into traffic. So it's a good move.
Due to adverse track conditions caused by extremely heavy rainfall, live canceling is in the best interest of all involved.
Good work.
They're erring on the side of safety all week here. They canceled quite a few races.
They sure have.
But there's still been a ton of races.
Del Mar will be popular with your buddies down there today. They'll be hearing a lot of screaming, Morenci. Gulfstream, too.
Yeah, I saw Del Mar's right on the ocean, too. It's a pretty beautiful scene down there.
Sure is.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, game time decision. Red Heat Rage Radio. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Tune in, iHeart, everything else in between. We appreciate you joining us, whatever platform you're throwing it down with us. I'm Morenci. We're at the FanDuel Sportsbook Meadowlands Race Track. We've got a couple of baseball games. Lighter night tonight on the diamond. We'll take a look at that a little bit later on, including the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. And if you remember, the Yankees beat the crap out of the Red Sox in London, England. We'll get caught up to date with what's going on at the St. Jude Golf. John Rahm lighting it up right now. But we've got Whale Capper, as we are now 1 week away from the start of the National Football League preseason. Steps up and in. Whale Capper, always a pleasure. How are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, fantastic, man. Training camps rolling across the country. This is as good as it gets as far as football prep goes. And, yeah, I feel like I got a good head start on the season, and I can't wait for this thing to get going.
Oh, that's good, because word on the street was you were holding out. You were unhappy with your contract.
Like everybody.
We got it resolved in the nick of time. At the 11th hour, my agent pulled through. And
a lot of earthquakes, Whale Capper. You should be asking for the full for the full Monty, buddy. Lots of plates colliding.
Yeah, man. Yep, we're hot. It's hot on the streets. Yep, that's right, man. This is all good. This is all good content. I love this.
Yeah, so it's 1 week away now from the start of the preseason. We have the Hall of Fame game next weekend. You know, people approach the preseason in different ways. I think that the preseason is very bettable, and I'll tell you what. You look at the history of the preseason, and Dan Quinn, not very good. In the preseason, the Atlanta Falcons 5-11 straight up, guys. 16 preseason games. He's only won 5 of them outright. 4-12 against the spread. And you know, one of the reasons is they're real top heavy. The Atlanta Falcons. They have a lot of star players. They're not the deepest team. Matt Schaub is still their backup quarterback. They never have any good young sort of check out this kid quarterback playing in the preseason. It's Matt Schaub in a complete scrub battle for the third string spot, and Schaub rarely plays. And then conversely, you've got Fangio coming in here, new coach, old man, hardcore dude. Tells him no music anymore. He's going old school with the Broncos. Plus, they got Drew Locke, and as much as they're ripping Drew Locke, I think he'll actually perform pretty well in a preseason setting like this. So I'm going to give the first official NFL pick of the 2019 season right here on the Fantasy Sports Network. Give me the Denver Broncos next week.
Ooh, nice. What kind of number? Are they hanging numbers at FanDuel yet?
It was +2.5, but I think it's come down.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, no, I think your breakdown is spot on there. And if you kind of think about, third and fourth quarter potential for who's going to be playing hard and why, there's definitely a lot more roster spots up for grabs on the Broncos roster. A lot more, a lot more likelihood that those, second and third unit players are going to be
more competition.
Yeah, exactly. More competition. They're going to be, trying to do more. That could be the differentiating factor for sure.
You have a new coach, Cam, that they're going to want to impress.
I don't know how that's going to work, Gabe, the no music stuff. Like, I know you want to go old school. That doesn't fly with today's athlete. It might work for a bit, but it won't last long. These old school guys, it just doesn't work.
The thing that's ridiculous about it, Cam, is the Patriots have music even. Like, Bill Belichick is even against it.
Good point. Excellent point. They're the best. Yeah. They're the best of the bets. If they have music and they're winning, if the Patriots got music, there's no need not to have music.
Hey, guys, I don't know if you guys know, but there's a hip-hop song called No Music. It goes, no music, no music.
Maybe that's what they should play.
No music.
Yeah. Thanks, Yank. Yank furthered that the ball down the field there.
You got it, buddy.
Good stuff, Yank. Play the song later. Get it. Like, yeah, at least get it.
I want to hear no music.
Yeah. We want to hear no music. All right. see what we deal with, Whale Capper?
I love this, man. We're talking football, so I'm in a great mood.
So Vic Fangio. So, he comes in. Hey, and listen, I get it. You don't want to be cranking music after losses in the room. And this isn't a new phenomenon in sports, people getting mad and smashing the speakers and stuff like that. But we're talking about training camp and two-a-days and hot weather and fans in the stands, and it's just to keep everyone going. You know what I mean? It's not like they're wearing earphones. They're cranking it on the sidelines. the atmospheric noise helps. And it's funny because Fangio says, there's no music during the games. And I'm thinking, is this guy like, I'm like, oh, this is going to happen. They never play music during games, Cap. Oh, yeah, I know. And he's like, come on. We'll simulate noise when we have to. I want everyone's attention. And what got me, though, and I get where he's going. He wants everyone's attention, et cetera. But he goes, we can't have our coaches try to yell over music to get people's attention. And I'm thinking, Vic, you know what's going to happen in an NFL game, bro? The crowd's not quiet. Like, you're going to have to yell to get people's attention. And this stuff's real. It's funny because even in the NBA playoffs, Will Capper, there was a time the Spurs wanted to call a timeout, and Popovich said they couldn't hear me. He said the fans were so loud they couldn't hear me. And, you know, like, loudness is real. And, well, one of my favorite things, what I love about FAU, Florida Atlantic guys, their practice field is right beside the airport. Okay?
That'll help.
Yeah, there's like,
deal with that noise.
There's planes like landing right over them. Wow. Like constantly. And Kiffin says, don't stop. Like, you call the play through this. And they play music. So there's music, there's planes. And he says, when we go on the road, and FAU are a good road team. He goes, we go on the road, man. Nothing phases us. We got planes flying over us during practice. You know, little things like that. But, okay, so I agree, Cam. I think he's gone too far. I mean, hell, even Mike Shanahan allowed music. John Fox allows music. Like, the hard-ass guys.
We're old-school guys, too. Like, you know what I mean? But you have to adapt. You can't. It's a different world we're living in now, and we have to be realistic about it. You said it. That was a great point that you bring up. If Bill Belichick and the Patriots have music going, and they are the epitome of everything you want to do, how to win a championship, how to be great year after year, that's a mold and a model you could be following.
If I was the coach, I'd kid with the players. I'd go, all right, listen, you can play your music, but let's compromise. And then make them, like, play Frank Sinatra and stuff like that a bit, too. And then suddenly they won't want to play music. It's like
we're good.
It's like the 7-Elevens in 7-Elevens in New York. They crack classical music to keep people from standing outside and drinking and stuff. Like, really, really loud. But on the opposite end, what do you think, Will Capper? And then throw it to Cam. What do you think of Cliff Kingsbury saying that he's going to allow players every 30 minutes to check their phones? He said, in today's day and age, everyone's on their phone all the time. I'm going to have cell phone breaks during practices so people can check their Instagrams. And I think it's a bit much. Like, I think that's too much. I'll get you
that's
the exact.
Crazy.
You didn't hear about that?
That's
no, I'll get,
crazy.
Yeah. I'll get you the exact wording. Yeah, I'll get you guys the exact back here. I know about this one.
I know about this one. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. If I was, Will Capper and Gabe, I'd tell players, leave your phones at home during team events.
Yeah.
You are not, you know what? If it is an emergency, somebody will come down and get me at the field. If the wife's in labor, somebody in my family is sick, we could talk about that. But other than that, you are focusing on me, Instagram and stuff. See, that's just stupid. If you let guys... So you're focusing on your phones, not a coach, and you're a rookie coach that works at Texas Tech, not in the pros. I think it's going to be a rude awakening for Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals, man. That's not going to fly.
Cliff Kingsbury said that football players, you can only reach them in 20-minute hits.
Whatever. No.
Yeah. He goes, I'm going to read his quote. I'll read his quote when we come back.
Oh, my God.
Bad move.
Yeah.
Bad
move. Oh, Cliff, what are you doing?
Ooh, Cliff.
Oh, all right.
No.
We'll break it down, and I'll give you his exact quotes about this on the other side. You guys at home, and you gentlemen, got the commercial. You can look it up as well.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire. I'm doing. I don't even need no music. Uno, dos, tres. No music. No music.
You want two risk-free wagers up to $1,000? Go to pointsbet.com/grid and open up a PointsBet sports wagering account. Enter the promo code GRID and you'll get two risk-free bets up to $1,000. In addition to traditional betting, PointsBet offers you its own betting concept where customers are rewarded by how much they win their bet by. For example, if Gabe bets the Buffalo Bills -3 and they cover the spread by 7, he'll receive 7 times his stake. That's pointsbet.com/grid. Enter the promo code GRID and get two risk-free bets up to $1,000 today. What a deal. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 and over, New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for full details.
All right. I am Gabe Morenci. Thank you, Cam. Stuart Whale Capper joining us. You can find him at whale_capper and get all the links to all of his podcasts over at Audio Boom as well. All right, so we're talking about the no music policy with the Denver Broncos, and we all agree that that's dumb. You know, it's ridiculous. Yeah, you know, really, it's not going to help you win football games, coach. And if anything, it's just going to piss people off. So it doesn't get, you know, I mean, they're not going to listen to you more because there's not music. If you want their attention, then you'll get their attention. But let's get into Cliff Kingsbury right now. So it's in team meetings. So not in the middle of a practice, but
yep.
You know, in the middle of his practices are going to be different as well. And even the assistant coaches are saying that this guy does things differently. They're saying linebackers coach. Thing that jumps out to me is this guy's extreme intelligence. None of us are experts at everything, especially in a world we haven't been in yet, but this guy gets it. So sort of, you know, early praise. He goes on to talk about, you see players' hands start to twitch. You see their legs are twitching in team meetings, and you know they need a social media fix. So you know what? We'll let them have it. Let them hop over there, check out their phone, get back into the meeting, and we can refocus. He talks about people only have about an attention span of about 20 minutes or so to stay really focused, and he likes to do things in 20-minute blocks. He said, you know what? He goes, they're itching to get on their phone. We all know it. He goes, so why not let them do it so they can come back and refocus? Saying, dealing with college kids, I understand what social media is. Here's Stephen A. Smith, being the football expert that he is. He disgusts me already. I don't know him from a can of paint. I've never met him. I don't particularly like him. This is professional football. It's not a daycare center. This is the most asinine thing I've heard in quite a long time. Yet, Whale Capper and Cam, guess who says he thinks it's a great idea? 3-time Super Bowl champion Teddy Bruschi defends the idea. The attention span of the youth is much shorter today. Bill Belichick used to allow us to do similar things as well. He just never called it a cell phone break, but that's what we did. He said Belichick used to stop meetings and let people step out for a couple of minutes. Is this as crazy as it sounds, Will Capper?
Well, just given who you've kind of laid this out, Stephen A. Smith versus Bruschi quoting Belichick, I guess I have to go with Bruschi and Belichick. I mean, this is, if Stephen A. Smith is sure that this is a bad idea for a football team, then
exactly.
I think
maybe
it a
good idea. Hey, listen, can't say Bruschi's not an old school hard ass. Bruschi is an old school guy. You know what I mean?
You're right. And the fact that we're on Stephen A. Smith's side is kind of, but I still think it's stupid, Gabe. I think if you're an NFL player, you can focus for more than 20 minutes in a meeting, come prepared, write things down.
I don't think
whatever.
They can. I don't think they can.
That's crazy to
That's
me.
Possible
then.
They can.
Yeah, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Not that long. Maybe an hour. I could say, you know. Go for a leak and check your phone then, but 20 minutes is really short, in my opinion. But I'm not going to argue with a winner like him and a Super Bowl champ and guys like Bill Belichick. So,
what do you got, Will Capper?
I was just going to say, my instinct on this was, you can kind of help. Frame a culture, where you have, you get people used to a certain type of behavior, and it doesn't impact their ability to kind of learn your system and get the lessons that they're supposed to get out of these meetings, right? And I feel like going head first into this, we're going to give them this frequent of a break to kind of keep them, you know, stuck in their ways about, you know, how often they're engaging on social media is a little bit problematic. And, you know, while, yes, you probably do need breaks, yes, you probably, you know, you have a certain, you know, amount of time you can devote to thinking hard about football, especially, you know, in the off season or the preseason. It doesn't check, you know, he's going to need to get all these guys, you know, Adderall prescriptions at some point, because they're going to be, you know, totally scattered across, you know, everything that's going on in their lives, which is going to be front and present. You know, you're going to lose 5 minutes at the beginning and the end of it, all of these 20-minute segments. So, you know, I think if you wanted to introduce something like that on a longer time scale, that I would be like, okay, yeah, actually this jives. But, you know, you could get people into the habit where, you know, every hour or 2 hours or something like that is, you know, how that, you know, they're a little bit, you know, set apart from this, so that, you know, because you don't want them thinking about what's going on in the world of social media, you know, in the game. You know, or like at halftime, like you want them kind of dialed in and focused at that point. And it seems like you're setting yourself up for, you know, kind of issues in actual game, you know, in game situations where you're going to want focus, and people are kind of, you know, split between all of the parts of their lives that are, you know, that are encouraged by this sort of social behavior. But it, you know, a lot of this is speculation. And if he wants to try something different and be disruptive, one of the things that I've kind of learned looking at across all aspects of the NFL over the last couple of years, like there's so much entrenched in the way things have always been done that you pretty much try any disruption at all and you have kind of a positive consequence from it. Like, you just try something a little bit different than what everybody else is doing, and you end up getting something positive back. So maybe this is an example of that.
I don't know how, you know, if you're in MMA at all, but Conor McGregor is a good example of this. And, you know, now he isn't, because, listen, he made $100 million, and he's knocking chicks up and doing blow and, you know, defending himself in lawsuits right now. But he actually said it. Someone said, you know, why are you so successful? Like, you know, how are you so successful? And he said, because all these guys all do the exact same thing over and over and over and over. They train the same way over whether they win or lose for a fight. And he said, they all throw punches from the same angle. They all kick from the same angle. They all train the same way. They're all trained by the same people. He goes, I do things differently. He goes, I come at a different angle. And he goes, they just don't know how to deal with it because they're so set in their old school ways. And he was right. He was coming from different angles, and it was freaking people out. And listen, Kingsbury here is another good case. Like, this is, it's debatable in which he says. And also, I was just going to say too, guys, that Will Capper, it's sort of like, it's like in England. They had a hard time, like, with drunk driving and real, like, street fights and puking in the street and stuff, because they had a last call. And they really like to booze it up. So everyone was leaving the bars at once. They were fighting. There was crashes. They were falling into the subway at the middle of the night at the same time. They realized, you know what? Let's just not have a last call. And people don't binge drink at the end when there's no last call. Therefore, you don't have everyone leaving the street at the same point in time. It's almost like if you give somebody a ton of something, they don't want it as much anymore. Yeah. And I'm saying, you start out with this 30-minute deal that says, he says 20 to 30 minutes, he's going to feel it out. You give him this, then, you know, there'll be times, hey, coach, no, we're good. Let's keep going. Next thing you know, you got their attention for 40 minutes. He's also earning their trust early. And this is something that I tell you, it's not insane from this perspective. He says, I think coming from the college ranks, as I did, obviously, I know young men, it's got to be quick hitters, 20 minutes or so at a time. You got to give them a break and then get back in. I'm just talking about 1 or 2 minute hitters where they can check things and get caught up to date, clear their mind. We want to make sure when we have them, they're 100% focused and they're locked in. This way we maximize their time. And he's got a point here. Kingsbury says the average age of the Arizona Cardinals is 25 years old. Not much older than the team he just coached. It's a pretty good point, Cam, as far as the age of his team.
You guys are bringing really good points to the table. The only point that I'm trying to make is this with social media, Gabe, and you're on it a hell of a lot more than me. But when you're a young guy anyway, you're influenced by it, right? And there's going to be haters for the Cardinals, especially if they get off to a bad start. Kyler Murray, young team. It's something that you kind of want to block away from and then focus on the positives and other things. I'm just saying it's a double-edged sword, right? And I agree with you. That's a really good point you bring up about gaining their trust with Kingsbury. He is an intelligent guy, but also the access to social media a lot of the time can cloud the head. You shouldn't be focused on that stuff. You should be focused on other things. That's all where I'm coming from. Football first.
But I think they will be. I think they will be. And look, Cam, you see it firsthand. You and I have seen it. It drives me crazy.
Yep.
And what you see radio and TV hosts on their freaking phone all the time. I've done shows with these people.
Yeah, I
right?
know.
And it's like, yeah, I'm sure you've seen it too, Whale Capper. It's the modern thing.
Yeah,
to me,
sure.
It's disrespectful. It's like you're not focused. They can't help themselves. They can't help. They're addicted. I saw a thing with people. There was a poll. Like, what's the one thing you can't live without? It was their phone. It was their phone.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes my phone's off, as Cam knows, for 3 days, and I don't care. Yeah. I like it. I miss
one
the beeper days.
One thing I can't live without? That's tough, man. I'd say fried chicken's up pretty high up on the list. More so than my phone.
And gambling.
Gambling, poutine. There's a lot of things I like more than my phone, I can tell you that. But we're different guys, Gabe. I just use my phone for scores and updates. I couldn't care less.
I know. We're all older, though. All these young people are on their phone all the time. They look at my phone and say,
ooh, it's a creditor. Won't pick that one up. Maybe I'll answer that one tomorrow.
I only use my phone to text somebody because I need weed or I need to place a bet.
Good point.
Like, I never get good news. Has anyone ever called me and said, "Hey, I got my news, Brent"? No.
I don't know. We never.
Out of like 5,000 phone calls in life, like maybe 5 of them have been good.
Great point.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
I like that all it took for Whale Capper and Cam to start reassessing things, the fact that Stephen A. Smith thought it was a bad idea. And then it's like instantly, well, if Stephen A. Smith thinks it's a horrible idea, then probably a brilliant idea, right? Like you said, like you got Brewski and Smith, and Brewski's like, well, Belichick actually kind of did the same thing. I like what Kingsbury, they said, do you check your phone during the break? He goes, yeah, I do. They said, what do you look at? He goes, I look at scores, March Madness, stuff like that.
Oh, you got a gambler.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, listen, they're doing, like you said, Whale Capper, you do anything differently at all in this world, man. And, you know, especially in that world. And they think you're nuts until it works, and then they all want to copy you. I put it this way, guys. This is amazing. And we'll get to some win totals, but I like the philosophical conversation here. You know, back in, like, I don't want to get the year wrong, but I'm going to say 1988 or so. The percentage of times that quarterbacks worked out of the shotgun. Shotgun. What do you think it is?
Very late.
I'm gonna guess like 10%, under 10%.
Yeah, I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say around 8%.
Yeah. Good call, guys.
Oh man.
You know what it is now? You know what it is now? 87%.
I was gonna say like 60 or 70. Wow, even
87%.
That's
87.
Yeah.
Wow.
They do it too much sometimes, in my opinion. When you need a short yard, you start from shotgun.
I remember, as a Buffalo Bill fan, guys, okay, the K-gun offense with Jim Kelly and all this. We didn't steal that, but we lost. People don't remember this. Like, everyone remembers Super Bowls. But growing up, like, before getting to the Super Bowls, the Bills actually lost in the AFC Conference Championship game to Boomer Esiason. And the Cincinnati Bengals and Icky Woods, if you remember that Icky Shuffle when they went to the Super Bowl, they beat the Bills. and or they beat the Bills in the playoffs in a divisional round, whatever. Bills won a playoff game and then lost. The Cincinnati Bengals and Sam Weish went no huddle on us. No one had ever done that, guys. Like, basically, they went no huddle, but not just in, like, a two-minute offense. They went no huddle on us, and the Bills couldn't handle it. The next year, the Bills went no huddle, shotgun, the rest is history. And the league sort of evolved from that. Sam Weish started that no huddle stuff with Boomer Esiason. Yeah, I know there was a hurry up before, but I'm talking, no, we're doing it all the time, guys. And I remember even as a kid, I was like, what the F are they doing? Well, you got to huddle. What do you mean? They can't do this. This isn't allowed. And they were just snapping the ball. They were standing at the line. The Bills were all confused. They couldn't, you know what I mean? And the wheels fell off. People, I'm just saying this, guys, because football as we know it now isn't always the way that it was, Whale Capper.
Oh, for sure. It's changed a lot, and it's changed for the better. I mean, it's much more entertaining now. It's much more exciting. It's much more, you know, much more balanced across the league. You know, when I was growing up, most common Super Bowl score was like 50-10. You know, I mean, like, it is just like, you know, we have much more competitiveness in the league now, and it's for the better. Another kind of great example of like, okay, you challenge the paradigm a little bit and you get rewarded for it is the Philadelphia Eagles recently. Like, they've kind of restructured the way they call a set of downs now when they're in a certain part of the field, where they are making decisions, not necessarily trying to get a first down in three downs, but in four. Like, they know they're going to go for it on fourth down, which completely changes the entire strategy of what you do on one, two, and three. I mean, you've given yourself 25% more of an opportunity to get a first down by already deciding beforehand, instead of waiting for like, oh, clock's ticking down, pressure's on, what do I do as the head coach? Instead of that, they're like, okay, well, it's third and four. They're expecting pass. Let's check ourselves into let's give them a pass look and then do a run. If we only get 2 or 3 yards, that's fine. We're going to rush to the line and quarterback sneak it with our great running quarterback. We're going to get the fourth down conversion. So, they already kind of have that, established from the outset. And because 2 years ago they were operating with this aggressive play calling strategy and they were rewarded by winning a Super Bowl, like, that's part of their DNA now. Like, that's just how they're going to go about calling football games from here on out, which I, from my perspective, like, as I look at the Eagles this season, like, I'm expecting a lot from them. Like, they, just because I expect them to be, coaching staff in an organization that is doing things at a higher level than most everyone else. And, even if Carson Wentz turns out he's still a little banged up, he's not 100% back to where he was before he got injured 2 years ago, they still have the advantage of kind of a plus EV nature to the way they call plays and series and when they're going for it. And all of that will lead to more wins. I mean, that year, 2 years ago.
That's why they won. You're right.
Converting the fourth downs. I forget what the stat was. I'm going to quote what I remember. It's going to be close. But, going forward on fourth down led to something like 127 more points for them over the course of the 16-game regular season, which is just crazy.
And I mean, having balls works in life.
It was surprising. Not more people didn't adopt that last year.
And, Whale Capper, and people, you could talk about just the fourth downs, but I bring this play up often, because I was on the Minnesota Vikings like a moron in that game. But people forget, listen, it was 14-7. It's 14-7. It's a close football game. There's about 22 seconds left in the first half. The Philadelphia Eagles get the ball on their like 18-yard line. 99.9% of coaches are taking a knee, going into the room. We're up 14-7. We're getting the ball to start the third quarter. They threw a bomb to Torrey Smith for a touchdown. That was the game. Boom, 21-7. They went into the room. The link is going crazy. They got the ball. They scored again. 28-7, game over. Balls going for it.
Yep.
I talked
Good
about
night.
It. Michigan.
Good night.
Michigan, Notre Dame last year. Big game. Ooh, we have Shea Patterson. Ooh, big, big Michigan. We came out. It was like Woody Harbaugh went Bo Schembechler. Three run plays right in behind the center. Gained about 6 yards. Three and out in about 48 seconds time. We punted the ball. Notre Dame ran a flea flicker on the first play, threw a bomb, touchdown. I was like, God, that's just great, Jim. Wait, yeah, that's great. Playing it like You see it all the time. Bill O'Brien coaches not to lose, and he loses. Imagine if Bill O'Brien coached with balls.
Yeah.
And here's – I totally get your point, and here's the fact here too. So according to Football Outsiders charting data, NFL teams ran shotgun just 7.1% of the time in 1989. In year 2000, 12.8%. 12.8%.
That's crazy.
It's just – All right, here it is. The 2007 Patriots, who tore through the regular season undefeated with 588 points, were the first team to use the shotgun on more than 50% of their snaps. It rose from an average in 2007 to 20%, 27%. 2016, 64.4%. It dipped to 58%, back up to 63%. So 65% of the time it peaked at. It's just my whole point is football changes, and maybe Kingsbury's not as insane as people think. But so you think you like the Eagles to win that division over the Cowboys?
Yeah, that one's kind of. I mean, you know, honestly, again, it kind of comes down specifically to the coaching because I think the Cowboys probably have a little bit better roster, top to bottom, position by position. They're a little bit better. But the coaching staff and kind of the aggressive approach for the Eagles is that's a distinguishing factor. The Cowboys will lose games they should win because Jason Garrett will make terrible decisions about when to punt, when to go for it, when to kick field goals. Like, he will do that. You can pretty much count on it. If there's anything you can count on in the NFL, coach is not really changing year over year. And so they will lose some games that they should win otherwise. They did it last year against the Texans. They do it every year. And so I think Eagles would be the lean there just on that basis alone. But it's going to be a pretty competitive NFC East battle there between those two teams because the Cowboys are stacked. Like, their roster is good.
I know.
They have a good young defense.
I like them.
They'll have a good, healthy offensive line, one of the best offensive line units, and definitely clearly a top five unit in the NFL. I'm assuming they'll get the Zeke Elliott stuff worked out. I know he didn't travel with the team to their training camp, but I'm guessing we'll still see him sometime in August. This is their last shot, really, before they have to pay Dak, before they have to figure out how to get Elliott paid as well. And, Jason Garrett on a lame duck contract, brand new offensive coordinator that they've promoted up from quarterbacks coach, who we really don't know what he's going to bring to the table. So, those uncertainty and a little bit of potential issues there about guys getting paid and guys needing the ball, all that, spooks me a little bit. I would think we would get a little bit of regression probably from Amari Cooper. I don't think you're going to be able to project what he did over the small time he was there in Dallas. If you can exactly account for that occurring over the full course of the season, it's going to be a little bit of a regression for him. So, there are enough red flags there that I think open up the door for the Eagles. And, the future of, kind of the way things are going to go in the NFL is the way they did it 2 years ago. You saw kind of Frank Reich take over in Indianapolis and run a lot of that same stuff. And, a lot of the reason I'm super high on the Colts this year, same story. They had the fact that they're, just the fact that they're doing things in a way that I think adds value, adds points, adds win percentages to your team over the course of the season is huge. And actually, what's funny is Frank Reich, he saved Bill O'Brien's job. Bill O'Brien, not a huge fan at all, personally. I think he will hold the Texans back this year. But if it wasn't for that week four game last year where Frank Reich went for it on fourth down in overtime, gave the Texans the ball back and gave them the win, Bill O'Brien probably gets canned.
That was my prediction. Remember I said they're going to lose and he's going to get fired, and he got saved.
Seriously.
He should have been fired, and instead he's pretty much promoted. He's the GM now, essentially.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Incredible. So Frank Reich's playing 3D chess here, man. At the time, we were like, man, you just gave away a win. But, his team bought in, to the fact that he took that chance on them, I felt like, because they went on a little bit of a run there after. Obviously, they made the playoffs of the year. No one expected them to. And then on the flip side, he keeps Bill O'Brien employed in division so he can kick him around twice a year. So that's Frank Reich is playing a little chess here.
That division's a competitive one. Colts minus 105, Houston Texans plus 280. Jacksonville Jaguars plus 430, Titans plus 550, and we'll get you out of here in a minute, Whale Capper, or two. But, you know, guys, 15 of the last 16 years in a National Football League, there's been a worst of first team. It's hard to believe that many, wow. But it is. 15 wow. and one. 15 and one, wow. Whale Capper. 15 of the last 16 years, a team has gone from worst to first. You go down the list. Are the Jets winning a division? No. Are the Bengals going to win a division? No. Are the Raiders going to win a division? No.
No.
I don't think the Bucs are because of that schedule.
No.
You go down the list. San Francisco. Hey, that's the hello, Ken. That's the one. The Jacksonville Jaguars are solely the only one you can say legitimately has a chance. What do you think, Whale Capper? Plus 430. Are you buying the Jags with Nick Foles?
Boy. This is an interesting kind of experiment here.
I know.
Yeah, I'm kind of not. The Jags fall squarely as like an 8-8 team by my projections, and you know a lot of this is just based on their offensive weapons in the passing game are really bad. Like they really don't have anyone for Foles to throw to. So you know, a lot of what made Foles successful in Philly does not exist in Jacksonville.
They don't have Doug Peterson and Frank Reich calling plays for them. Yeah,
If I'm taking a chance on any of those guys, I suggest actually. Better numbers.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Got like 2 minutes left for Whale Capper here, and we're talking worst to first, so we can't really get all this done. You know, something to think about, Whale Capper, next time we talk about it. But yeah, it's 15 out of the last 16 years a team finished last and then won the division the next year. And if you go through the teams, you know, our San Francisco, I mean, it's hard to predict all the time. It's, you know, there's going to be a surprise every now and then. But seems to me, Whale Capper, that like Jacksonville is sort of the only team sort of in that mix.
Yeah, I would have said the Niners, but I think the Cardinals were last by like one game maybe. But, I do like the Niners' chances just because I think that, there are a lot of signs of regression in place for the Rams. The Seahawks are going to lose games they should win on the basis of the way they call plays and the way they call
Cardinals were
offense.
3-13. Going to say. So Cards were 3-13.
Yes.
Niners are 4-12. Just quickly, last place team, Buccaneers, Cardinals,
no,
Detroit Lions.
No Bucks, no Cardinals, no Lions.
New York Giants? No.
Nope, no way.
Nope. No way. Swan song for Eli?
Nope.
Raiders?
No Raiders. No Raiders,
Jets.
No Bengals.
Jets.
We're down to the Jets and the Jags.
Bengals. And then the Jags, Cam. That's the prime candidate.
Yeah. I don't believe in the Jaguars, but I know a lot of people do. I don't think Nick Foles in that situation is going to do very well. I think it's going to be a really rough year. They have a great defense. I worry about a lot of things with that team. The infighting. They got a lot of real head cases on the Jaguars, too. I'm not buying in, Gabe. I'm with Whale Capper. 7-9 or 8-8.
So is it going to be
So it's
going to be 2-15. It's not going to happen because it doesn't have to happen.
Yeah, hope it doesn't. He likes the Jets.
You know, I guess
Bill Capper said
yeah,
Jets.
I guess
at,
I have
6-1.
I have to make
Holy
a case
geez.
For the Jets here. Yeah, I got to make a case for the Jets here then. So, you know, the Patriots are just kind of assumed to be the class of the AFC East, and clearly they have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And when you have the best coach and best quarterback, then you already have a huge head start. But the Jets. You know, the Jets are worth keeping an eye on. You know, they should see improvement from the year on quarterback. They have an easy schedule, too. If they can split with the Patriots 1-1, then I think game is on.
I think Jags, and as crazy as it sounds, the Lions. Always great football talk with Whale Cap.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Guys.
It's the news update from Game Time Decisions.
News. Thank you very much, Yang. I'm Cam Stewart with your fantasy sports news update. Hey, we got some baseball live action and some finals. And hey, the New York Mets, what a performance today. Jared DeGrom, fantastic. 7 innings on four hits, 9 Ks in the win. Lauer, the loss. They beat the Padres 4-0. But Mets closer Edwin Diaz, injured in the 9th inning. He took a liner off the foot from Manny Machado. He had to leave the game, so we'll see his status. But DeGrom, finally, a little bit of run support in the win. Gabe, we talked about it. The St. Louis Cardinals on fire. They doubled up Pittsburgh 6-3. Mikolas the win. Musgrove the loss. Paul Goldschmidt. He's homered in 4 straight games, and now the Cardinals have won 5 in a row. They're on fire. Rockies and Nationals. This game is on the go right now. Rockies were up 3-0. They were plus 385, but Anthony Rendon has just gone deep for the Nationals, so we're now tied at 3. Rocks were plus 285 in this game. Nats minus 320. Some bad news for the Rays. AC and Snell is going to undergo surgery to remove a loose impediment in his elbow. The good news is the club expects a 26-year-old to be ready for action in September. Troy Tulowitzki announcing his retirement from baseball this afternoon. Texas Rangers outfielder Joey Gallo undergoing surgery to repair a broken hamate bone in his right hand. No timetable for his return. Gallo having a big year. 22 dingers, 49 RBIs in 70 games. One deal, too, today. The Los Angeles Dodgers acquiring first baseman Tyler White from the Houston Astros for a minor leaguer. And trade rumors, Minnesota very interesting, and Jays reliever Daniel Hudson. We already know Marcus Stroman on the trading block. Here's the rest of the MLB matchups and betting lines for tonight. 7-10 action. We got the Yankees minus $1.20 at Boston. Tanaka and Porcello, total 11, 8-10. Minnesota minus 140 versus the White Sox, 8.5. Good matchup. Berrios versus Giolito, 8-15. We got Cleveland, 50-cent favorites at Kansas City, total 10. Plutko versus Montgomery. Two more at 10:07. Baltimore is at the LA Angels. We had a change of pitch here. Yakabonis is in for the Orioles. Suarez for the Angels. Angels minus 245. 10 is your total. Texas and Oakland, A's minus $1.89.5. Gerardo and Anderson and 10-10 action. Detroit at Seattle. Mariners minus $1.79.5. Verhagen versus Swanson. The entire 2019 NFL first draft is now under contract. San Francisco defensive end Nick Bosa and Jets D lineman Quinnen Williams, the number 2 and 3 picks respectively, signed their rookie deals today. That's everybody signed in the first round. The plane has left. Ezekiel Elliott not in it. Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott not aboard the team plane to Southern California for training camp. Elliott has been contemplating a holdout in an effort to, you know, get some extension talks and get some more money out of the Cowboys. Players aren't required to show up for boys camp until Friday, and Saturday is Dallas's first practice. He has 2 years left on that and a fifth year option on that rookie deal. The 24-year-old, though, has led the NFL in rushing twice in 3 years in the league. Saints star receiver Michael Thomas also didn't report to the team's facility today. The 26-year-old is seeking a new deal. Sources telling Adam Schefter from ESPN, Saints reportedly offered Thomas a pretty good number between $18 and $19 million a year. However, the wide receiver is seeking a contract on an average of $20 million per season. He can be fined $40,000 for every day a camp he misses. Thomas, a great year, led the NFL with 125 catches, over 1,400 yards, and 9 touchdowns. Pittsburgh Steelers giving coach Mike Tomlin a one-year extension to keep him under contract. He's entering his 13th year at the helm of the Steelers, the youngest coach ever to win a Super Bowl. Le'Veon Bell says, give me more, feed me, 500 touches. That's realistic, he says. Jets coach Adam Gase stated he doesn't want to overwork Bell, who sat out all of last year in that contract dispute. Bell, a 3-time Pro Bowler, produced 1,946 scrimmage yards and tied a career high with 11 TDs in 2017. Bucks defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul isn't expected to return until at least November, sources telling ESPN today. He suffered a fractured vertebrae in a motor accident and decided to proceed with a non-surgical remedy. Pierre-Paul led the team with 12.5 sacks in 2018. Chargers left tackle Russell Okung, he's recovering from a pulmonary embolism that he suffered in June due to blood clots. Okung has been placed on the non-football illness list to start a Chargers training camp,
But the 30-year-old said he's on the path to recovery, and he does expect to play football this season. We got a doubleheader in the CFL tonight. First game, 7 o'clock, Calgary at Ottawa. Stamps, minus 6. We got 550.5 is your total. Then at 9:30, Toronto Argonauts at Edmonton. Eskimos, big favorites right now, 11.5, total 51.5. NHL news, the Buffalo Sabres signed Evan Rodriguez to a 2-year deal. The Leafs acquiring blue liner Jordan Smoltz in exchange for blue liner Andreas Borgman. Round one of the PGA's FedEx St. Jude, John Rahm, no bogeys, 8-under. Where were you last week? I needed you in the Open Championship. Now you have a 3-shot lead. Hideki and Patrick Cantlay in the mix, and the rest of the tour in Nevada. It's the Modiford Stapleford scoring system, meaning plus is good. David Lingmerth leading 18 over. I'm Cam Stewart. Gabe Morency hosts hour two of Red Heat and Rage Radio. Hey, we're going to talk a little CFL football with our boy McInnes. Hopefully get some picks and break down the baseball board. Hour two of Red Heat and Rage Radio coming up now.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
Level two. Game time decisions. Red Heat and Rage, our radio, Fantasy Sports, our radio network. I am Gable Moretzky. Throwing it down, FanDuel Sportbook, Meadowlands, our racetrack where the patrons are rowdy on this Thursday afternoon. Going into the evening, New York Yankees, Boston Red Sox, big baseball game tonight, big series for the Sox. Yankees beat them up when they played in London a couple of weeks ago. We have a doubleheader on tap of tonight, CFL football. And, Cam, the first game's up at 7 o'clock, and I see the second game's at 9:30. And why don't they just say 10 o'clock? Because a CFL game doesn't take 2.5 hours to play.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, even the time. Just say 10 o'clock. Game. Yeah. I would even prefer the first game, maybe kicking that one off at 7:30 and the other one going a little bit earlier so we can kind of have both games on action. But, I was going to say
they should have started at 6. Start it now.
Yeah.
6 to 9 and at 9 to midnight or so.
Yes. The thing is, these guys are afraid. They know the product. It's like, let's just have all eyes on one game. They'll never do anything else to have like a couple games going on at the same time. That's against their MO. But, yeah, no. Actually, the way you think about it, that makes sense. They should start this thing now, and you know it's going to take forever, too. So, I don't know, man. It's going to be an interesting game tonight. I'm kind of looking at Ottawa at plus 6 at home. We'll see, though. The last time Jennings played, he was brutal, man. So,
I like the
tough
under.
Games. Tough game. Maybe the under. Hey, these games have been going under, man. There's no denying that. The CFL, especially in the first half, under machines.
Ottawa's offense sucks. Calgary's offense isn't very good with Arbuckle, but we'll get into that. We have a doubleheader on tap tonight. Red Blacks and Stampeders, as well as the Toronto Argonauts and the Edmonton Eskimos. New York Yankees, Tanaka goes. Yankees took 2 of 3 in Minnesota in a wild series this week, but no rest for the weary, Cam. From Minneapolis into Fenway, Red Sox. You see the Red Sox are protesting. And evidently, Alex Cora doesn't understand the rules of baseball because he's protesting something that's legal. So I don't know if you guys caught this, but so yesterday during the game, the Rays Cash, great name, Cash, he put a left-hander in to face against the left-handed batter. All right? So he faced the left-handed batter. Then there was a right-handed batter coming up. So he took the left-handed pitcher out. Except he put him at first base. So they took the first baseman out, and they put the pitcher at first base. They brought a right-handed pitcher in to face another batter. Then they took that pitcher out, and they took the pitcher back from first base and put him back on the hill cap. Which is legal.
Yeah,
which is legal.
They talked about it for 17 minutes.
In the American League, yeah. In the American League, if you do this, you forfeit your designated hitter for the rest of the game, as strange as that is.
Yeah, it was in the ninth inning, though, right? So
yeah,
he knew what the hell he was doing.
Oh, and he's done it. He did it earlier at San Francisco, and he did it twice last year, actually.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Game Time Decisions, Ready to Raise Our Radio, continues on many different platforms and mediums. We appreciate you joining us. I'm Gabe Renzi with the FanDuel Sportsbook Meadowlands Racetrack, Cam Stewart in Toronto, Ontario. We're going to be back tonight at 8 o'clock in-game live this evening with me, Cam, Dane Martinez, and Mike Blewett. And we'll be tracking. We have some CFL tonight, Cam, doubleheader.
Yeah.
And it'll carry over because we have the 7 o'clock game. Well, we'll pretty much be sweating out the first game and then carrying into the Edmonton game against the Toronto Argonauts. Let's bring in a man who caps the CFL on a weekly basis. Andrew McInnes joins us. Andrew, always a pleasure. What's going on today, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, Gabe. Thanks for having me on. No, we're doing really good. Good weather here in Halifax, which is kind of a rarity for pretty much 9 months of the season. So it's doing pretty good. And I had a great time seeing you in New York, and I appreciate you having me in the studio. So we're doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right.
Pretty good, McInnes.
I could be better. I left $10 in a machine earlier today, and somebody took it when I stepped away for a minute. But
I hope somebody with very little money picked it up. That would be okay. Like, instead of like some rich guy
who's right,
like, yeah, that's exactly it. Hopefully, like a real down in the luck. Actually, I'd say maybe a horse player picks up. He's just going to gamble it away, McInnes. So that's not a good idea.
Yeah, like you said, I hope like it's like somehow. You're right. Somebody worthy that turns it into like dinner tonight for themselves or whatever,
yes.
Cam. You know, like.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you know.
I highly doubt it. At this horse and sports book, not likely.
Yeah,
I gave it a good deed for the day, man.
I asked. I know the guys here, so the ticket taker. I said, man, said that's lost $10, man. He told me, he goes, these guys are savages here. Yeah, no. No kidding. It's gone. All right. So nevertheless, let's jump in here. We've got Ottawa and Calgary. Ottawa has been a thorn in Calgary's side for a couple of years, but Calgary's gotten the best of them recently, you know, with the exception of the opener this year. But it continued, man. It went back to the Grey Cup. You remember, Cam? They won outright. We were on them. We had them plus the points. We had them as the on the money line. Ottawa has been successful against Calgary in the past, but Ottawa's offense is terrible right now. Jennings gets the call once again tonight. Calgary, McInnes, something about Calgary, and I noticed with Arbuckle, he had that nice game against Saskatchewan. They won 47-10, 37-10, whatever the hell it was. But if you notice with Arbuckle, he can't throw the ball down the field. Calgary's offensive line is not very good. Like, they're not protecting Arbuckle. I guess Bo Levi Mitchell's so good, he sort of masks the O-line being bad. But if you guys have noticed, Arbuckle is under pressure. He doesn't know how to read defenses. So unless someone's wide open, it's a problem for him. He's eating a lot of sacks. They can't let the receivers get down the field. And get this, guys. He's thrown two passes for more than 20 yards. He's thrown, I believe, like attempted like eight for more than 10 yards. Trust me, I know, because I bet on Calgary to go over with this guy a few times. Dickinson has a very short leash on this kid. It's dink, dunk, let's get first downs, give the ball to Carey. I'm looking at, you know, watch it be a track meet tonight, Andrew, but I think it's a low-scoring game tonight, lower-scoring game at least.
I think it's a low-scoring game as well. I mean, you talk about Arbuckle there, Gabe. Thing with him, I find that when he first came in to replace Bo Levi Mitchell, he looked confident, and now he almost looks too comfortable. You know, I like the way he came in with some confidence. He made some plays. He gathered a good comeback, but now he almost looks too comfortable. And like you said, too comfortable in that pocket, and things like he thinks he has too much time. And you know, that's really hurting this offense. I mean, like you said, the receivers can't even get downfield. But guys, I mean, we got to take a look at Jonathan Jennings. I mean, this guy went 6 for 15, 45-yard performance, got yanked. I mean, he's nothing special. I don't even think he belongs in the CFL. I don't get why the Red Blacks really grabbed him. Dominic Davis has proven to be way better than him. I mean, this Red Blacks team putting up 1 point, guys, not really impressive last week at all.
What do you think, Cameron, the game?
I usually don't do this, but listen to what McInnes said, Gabe. And I see 5, 5.5 with Calgary. We'll see where it is. I'm laying the points with Calgary. I usually won't do this, but I have exactly what Andrew said. I have no faith. I have no faith in Jonathan Jennings. He looks horrible there. He's going to make bad decisions. As for Calgary, they battled a good Hamilton team. I know, Gabe, the last game, not Arbuckle's best, but I just think the pedigree players that they have, the talent on both sides of the ball, I think they win the game by, you know, between 8 and 14 points. I think they cover the number. I'm taking Calgary. And if you don't feel comfortable with it, your teaser to Calgary plus 1.5 and under, 57.5 looks pretty decent to me. But I'm not even going to stick around with that. Just give me the Stampeders.
Calgary.
I love that teaser. Love that teaser. I'm also on the first half, Gabe. Sorry about that. I'm also on the first half minus 2.5 for the Stamps.
Oh, yeah. I think the first half under is a good play. FanDuel, unfortunately, doesn't do. They do the spreads for the first half, but they don't do the total. It pissed me off. A money line parlay with the Calgary Stampeders and Edmonton Eskimos is minus 141.
It's not my. It's pretty good.
Not bad.
Edmonton. I think Edmonton.
Cam, a 7-point teaser
minus 400, right?
Point teaser would be minus 130, and you'd still have to have Edmonton win by 4.5 points. I'm getting both on the money line at minus 141. Oh, it just moved to 143. People are like listening. It just moved. It's like Costanza said, I think it moved up to 143. I think, Calgary and Edmonton, the Argos showed some heart last week. We'll get to that game, but I understand where you guys are going with this. I don't want to lay the 6 points. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I'm going to go with the under, and I'll put Calgary in this money line parlay with Edmonton. Edmonton didn't play well at Montreal, McInnes. The Alouettes defense is very good. They're opportunistic. Edmonton were sort of due for a letdown, and it happened. Now they're back home against the Argos, who are back-to-back games out there in Alberta. What do you make of this one? 11.5-point favorites, the Eskimos are. The total's 52.5.
I'll tell you, Gabe, I don't like Edmonton laying points at all, ever. I don't think they're a team that can, you know, cover the number too often. I don't like laying big numbers with them. But like you said, Trevor Harris and the Edmonton Eskimos had their worst game, really their biggest letdown game of the season so far, and it fell against Montreal. I mean, this is a quarterback in Trevor Harris that had consecutive games throughout the whole season so far with no interceptions, I believe 8 passing touchdowns. And then in that game against Montreal, he had 2 interceptions.
Yeah, never sacked either.
Yeah,
like, I don't know if you guys remember. He didn't get sacked for the first time till last week.
So, you know, when I look at this one here, for a long time, I was looking and saying, maybe Toronto in this one. Maybe Toronto can come out with the points. But I like this bounce-back spot. And a lot of people, like I said, aren't realizing the fact that this Toronto team is allowing 37 points on average a game and only scoring 15. You know, that's rough. Like, that's tough to even see, tough to deal with. And, you know, also, they're without James Wilder Jr. They're a great running back, and they're also without their wide receiver, Armonte Edwards. So who else are they going to throw to? I mean, they're already having trouble establishing any offense. They started going to Darrell Walker a little bit more, but you can't just go to Walker every single time. I mean, do you guys remember when this team was great? They won the Grey Cup a few years ago. And all of a sudden, they're terrible now. They have a bad QB situation. I don't know, Gabe, what you think about McLeod Bethel Thompson, but between him and Franklin, they're struggling, man. So for me, one here, I'm on the under in the first half. That's a play I really like in this one. I'm also on Edmonton first half -7. I don't like getting too many favorites here, guys, but you know, for these games this week, it seems like it is that way for me. And, you know, Edmonton isn't a team I like to lay the points with, but with the key guys out for Toronto, with a bounce back spot here for Edmonton, I could see it being a tough game again for Toronto.
Toronto, you were on them last week, Cam. They covered. They were down by 16. They, you know, went back and forth. Calgary just weren't good enough to pull away.
It was pathetic on both sides. The fact that the total didn't get there. The Argos are driving for points. Wilder's fumbling the ball before he even touched. Calgary had a huge turnover. Then they're going in for a touchdown, a horrible throw by Arbuckle that was picked. Both teams were abysmal in that game. I thought the Argos played pretty well, but I'm with McGinnis. I don't think I'm going to pass probably on the game, Gabe. I just don't like Edmonton minus 11.5. I don't trust the Argos as a pooch. I'm all about the first game.
Andrew McGinnis, where can people find you, Andrew?
At McGinnis Picks on Twitter, and of course, all my work at sportsmemo.com.
Sportsmemo.com, Andrew McGinnis Picks. Thanks, buddy. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Get in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, where listeners of the show can get a risk-free bet up to $500. Here's how it works. One, create a DraftKings Sportsbook account. Two, make a deposit. Three, place your first bet, and DraftKings will match it up to $500. You said it. Hey, just go to sportsgrid.com/DK to play. That's sportsgrid.com/DK. Act quickly, because this offer is not going to be around forever. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 and over only. New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for full details.
Thanks, Cam. Thanks to McGinnis for joining us on the program. Ottawa Red Blacks are now +6, over under 50.5. Toronto Argonauts are getting 11.5 against the Edmonton Eskimos, over under 52.5. Money lines, Calgary -235, Ottawa +185, Edmonton -500, Toronto Argonauts +370. Let's take a look at the baseball board, Cam, and let's start off with this Yankee game. Big series here for the Boston Red Sox. Yankees having a great year. -114 right now with Tanaka against Porcello. Over under is 11 runs. And, man, the Yankees have been an over machine as of late, Cam. And if you look at the numbers between these two pitchers, they actually faced each other in London. And I know that, you know, it was a different park, but still, nevertheless, if you look at both their numbers, Tanaka's given up 17 earned runs in his last 19 innings of work, including 5 runs in his 11-5 win over Colorado. The Yankees have split Tanaka's last 8 starts on the road this year. But Tanaka, 4-1. I should say the Yankees with Tanaka are 4-1 to the over his last 5 road starts.
You know what, Gabe? What do you think? Like, what are you thinking? Are you thinking over, even though it's 11? Like, these teams could easily get there. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to like betting the over. That's going to get there. Like, I don't want to take the under in this game. I'll tell you that.
No. And Porcello's really struggling, too. And what does Tanaka do? Give up the long ball. So if Boston has any guys on base, you get that 2-3 run, maybe grand slam jack. So I really like where you're going. 11 seems high, but I'm reading your mail. I also have a lean to the Yankees, but I'm not going to bet it. I'm with you. Let's just, we'll be Tommy Total tonight. I'm usually Sammy sides, Gabe, but we'll play the Tom Total game over 11.
Tanaka has allowed, like I said, 17 runs in his last 19 innings. Meanwhile, Rick Porcello has allowed 4 runs or more in 4 of his last 5 starts. All right. Look at this. It's weird how pitchers get runs. Porcello has been helped up by tremendous run support as of late. As the Red Sox have scored 10 or more runs in each of his last 4 outings. Pretty crazy.
Wow. No, that's good.
Give me the over. Yankees have over had, 11.
And you've seen the Yankees have had big success against Porcello. This game lines up with Tanaka, too, with his weakness. As I said, the long ball. Hey, man, those balls at Fenway, too. Pew, pew, pew. Lots of shots off the monster. We'll get to 11 and over 11 for sure.
Minnesota -150 on the road tonight against the Sox. Cam Giolito back on the hill, 8.5.
It's going to be a popular play tonight, the White Sox. I'm kind of proceeding with caution. Giolito was great in his last start against Tampa Bay. As for Berrios, he's been really nice for Minnesota. Kind of, you know, he's been the guy to stop the bleeding for them. 50 cents is a lot on the road, Gabe. I kind of lean under in this baseball game, even though it's 8.5. We had that Stroman-Bieber game last night, and I see the same type of thing. I could see like a 3-2, 4-2 type of baseball game. I don't think they get 9 runs. I lean to the under. Haven't bet it yet. Should be a great pitching matchup.
what I find interesting, Chicago, 2-4. Chicago's just 2-4 in Giolito's last six starts. He was on fire. We lost his last start, actually. Last time he pitched, we lost. You mentioned Berrios. Berrios hasn't won in four starts, but he's been pitching well. He's just had bad luck. Even though it's Giolito, I would lean with the Twins. I'm not playing it. I'm not forcing baseball picks here tonight, Cam.
All right.
You know, at Red
Sox, we're
going
to be on air, buddy. We're going to be on air. There's going to be a lot of opportunity to do things we want to do. Say you get that game. You got a vibe on an in-game total, maybe the under. I'm with you. I have a lean to Minnesota in the under, but I got to take care of business. I've also live bet the Nationals. They've just taken the lead. It's crazy. Colorado has had a three-run lead and a two-run lead in this game, and the Nats have come back both times. I only live bet it once, but if this works out, that'll be good going into the CFL game, buddy. But we're going to be doing a show tonight, so we'll find a game. I'm not going to force it either.
Yeah, 6-5 for the Nationals right now. And Nationals are sort of like the Cardinals. Even when they're down, it doesn't really matter. Don't even look at the scoreboard. They're going to play their way back in into the game. So, yeah, we mentioned Chicago. White Sox, both these teams are 3-7 in their last 10 games. A hot team. We got Plutko on the hill here tonight against Montgomery. Cleveland at Kansas City tonight. Plutko. The Indians are 5-1 with Plutko on the hill when he's listed as a favorite this year. 27 strikeouts, just three walks in his last seven starts. Cleveland Indians 16-10 the last 26 games in this series, according to Mark Lawrence's database. Mark likes his hometown Cleveland Indians tonight.
Yeah, I like Mark, but I'd be very wary of the Indians
me
tonight.
Too.
Kansas City's playing very good ball. Even
they're
Montgomery.
Loose.
I'm actually looking at Kansas City at plus 130. Plutko can get hit. I understand he gets some run support. The over might be something to look at in this game at 10. But I like the Royals. Even on the run line, plus 1.5, only 20 cents. The Indians have to win by 2. I'm looking at Kansas City long and hard. I believe in this team. They're playing great ball. They shut down Atlanta. They're playing loose. They're getting better pitching. Kind of under the radar right now. They're doing a lot of things well and not getting much respect for it. Divisional game, team they hate, getting 30 cents. I'm listening to the Royals, Gabe. Might take them plus 130 and plus 1.5.
You know what it is, Cam? The fact of the matter is Mike Montgomery's not a very good pitcher.
That's true.
Comes down to. But I hear you. I'm not pulling the trigger. I'm not taking Cleveland in this spot on the road. Not after that tough series against the Blue Jays that they just went through. Baltimore on the coast. Light night tonight. Now we're already into the West Coast games here. Baltimore's on the coast here tonight. The Angels are massive favorites, Cam.
Yeah, change of pitcher, too. Baltimore had an earlier Eshelman, and now they've gone with Yakabonis. The thing about Yakabonis is he's kind of more of a spot starter. He usually doesn't go very deep. As for Suarez, I like the Angels in this spot, but minus 235 pass. Baltimore's been gritty. They just can't seem to get the runs against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Bases loaded, no outs. They find ways to lose games. They're playing better, but they're still Yakabonis is a very highly flammable pitcher.
Gave up seven runs on eight hits in his last appearance.
Doesn't last. Yeah,
got an ERA of 10.43 in 11 home games, 4.26 in 12 games away for some reason. So he is on the road. Suarez got sent down to AAA after giving up three runs and seven hits in four and a third innings on July 14th. So we've got a rookie pitcher here laying the price. Not the most attractive baseball board here tonight, but it would be Angels or pass for me.
Yeah, I can't take Baltimore in this spot. If it was somebody else like Means or somebody at plus 150 or 60, I'd look real long and hard against Suarez, not Yakabonis. You said it, Gabe. This guy, he's brutal. And I thought he was going to be better. He's actually a pretty highly touted prospect that hasn't panned out. 10.5, they could get there. You said it. This baseball board, it's lean. Thank God there's two Canadian Football League games tonight because this is some bad action. We're going to – I lean to the Angels, but it needs to be parlayed, Gabe.
The Texas Rangers, you talked about fading these guys. They were really hot. They were really hot, and, you know, they're a good home team. But it's starting to fall apart for them on the road right now. They're 1-9 in their last 10 games. 10 games under 500 on the road at 20 and 30, 51 and 51. They sort of were in the mix briefly, Texas, but that was more of a mirage. They're in Oakland tonight, Mr. Anderson on the hill. But this is Oakland's first game back after their road trip. Seven games. They were at Minnesota. They were at Houston. They took three of the seven, so they were 3-4. That's not that bad, actually, against
those teams. Like this. That's good. That's
it's only good. One game on 500. They get back home. But generally, you and I agree, we don't like betting on teams that first game back after a road trip.
No, we don't. But just looking at Oakland, maybe the second game, Gabe, they understand, too. They can still kind of smell it. They're one of those teams that they'll just keep on grinding. I like Anderson in this spot. I don't like the 80-cent juice, but if we're going to play the parlay game that usually gets you burned with the Angels, you know what I'm saying? We got to be really careful. But if you guys like it and you're feeling comfortable, the Angels should beat Baltimore. They should beat Texas. It becomes plus 120. So you're not paying any juice. Actually, plus 121 on my book. I don't know what it is at FanDuel. Maybe even a little bit more. Maybe you get plus 125, depending on the lines. But Angels and Oakland, I think both are going to win. But it's hard, Gabe. It seems like every time we take these big parlays like we did with Atlanta, one of these teams lets us down, and it's very frustrating. But you're getting plus money, and I think both should win. I like Oakland to win.
What do you think about this? Calgary Stampeders money line, Edmonton Eskimos money line, LA Angels, Oakland Athletics,
right?
Plus 267.
You know what? I could buy into that because
I wish it was a little higher though. More.
Me, I wish you. Yeah, I thought you'd be getting about 3-1 there instead of plus 267. But yeah. It's because of the Edmonton Eskimos game, right, Gabe? What's that money line? Minus 400 and change? Because they're 11.5-point favorites.
5-10.
5-10, exactly. Like 480, yeah, 5-10. See, that changes everything with that big money line. So it's almost like a three-game parlay with the Angels, Oakland, and Calgary. Yeah, you know what? Plus 267 with a minus 510 isn't that bad. Something to consider. You know, hey, over 2.5 times your money, buddy. And that, I like, these aren't just favorites. They're big favorites. So something to consider.
Yeah, it just feels like the baseball, there could be a buster in here. But plus 267. Yep. Listen, it's still a plus money parlay, even if you don't do it with the football. Texas and Oakland and then Baltimore and the Angels. If you take the Oakland Athletics and the Angels, it's plus 115. Not bad, plus 115.
No, that's not bad at all. I like that.
You throw the football in, plus 267. I'm going to do it.
I'm riding it with you.
We're going to be live in game. Let's get it.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Decisions, Fred Heath Rage, our radio. Fantasy Sports, our radio networks, iHeart, TuneIn, everything else in between. I am Gabriel Morenci. Thanks to Yang keeping it real in the pit.
Gramps has to go for a bowel movement. Yeah. So that Van Halen bathroom didn't break. Sound very Van Halen-like. It sounded very, went bam, 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 bam. It sounded like he had some stomach cramps.
Yeah, what's up with that, guys? What's up with that Van Halen riff?
Like, you know guitar, Moran. So I was like, it's coming in. I'm like, yeah, we got some Van Halen. Then it went, burr, burr, burr. And like, yeah, it was like a geriatric version of Van Halen. Too slow.
I know, but everything's digital now. So yeah. I don't understand. Like, it's not like it's a record that's slowed down. Like, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
I know. I'm with you. It's major baffling. I have no idea, but. What a weird night for Thursday, Gabe. Like, just looking at this baseball card, it's pretty ugly. We're not going to deny it. We'll have some fun tonight with the Great Dane and Blewett. We'll have some fun. We'll talk, some games, in games. We got the CFL that me and you will be definitely dialed into. But, man, there's some bad pitching matchups and some real ugly stuff tonight. I can't sugarcoat it. It's ugly. It's
gross. Well, let's, you know what, though? Let's get
Other
this
than
parlay.
The Yankees, Yankees Red Sox, that's good. Other than that,
there should be tense here tonight in New York. Yankees Red Sox at the book. But let's get this parlay. People in the chat are getting enthusiastic about the parlay.
We're very enthusiastic. So we put in Calgary Stampeders money line,
Edmonton
Eskimos money line, LA Angels money line, and Oakland money line to a plus to a tune of plus 267. That's our parlay. Hope you guys can join in.
Yeah, let's get it.
I'm in. I'm putting it in right now.
A plus 267 parlay would really help change things, Cam. You know what I mean?
It would help, you know, get
that rolling a bit here.
I feel the exact same way about stuff, Morenci. It's like, even in horse racing, you know, got a guy 20-1, fourth place, doesn't get you paid. It's getting better this week, but I'm still like, you know what I mean? Like, where's the break? It would be really nice. You hit that parlay, you put $50 on it, you know, you get almost 200 back. Starting to think, okay, here we go. Now we can start to, you know, do what we want to do, increase the units a little bit in attack. It's been tough. It's funny. I'm watching the golf. John Rahm's 8-under. The guys have made a bogey. I'm thinking, wow, where was that last week? Thanks, pal.
You know what I got here, actually? I played a who's going to be a first-round leader. I took Hideki Matsuyama at plus 380.
Good pick, though. Good pick. He's right there. He's in second or third, right?
Wrong. Yeah, but he's not in first.
No, he's Sorry, that's awesome. But he's not in first. I know. He's
I don't get paid for second.
No, you don't get paid. You don't get. That's the thing. Like, too bad. You know what they should do? FanDuel offers a lot of cool stuff, Gabe, because you know what they have on some books? You do the first round leader, but the 1/5. So if you get him at like 20-1, they'll break it up to like plus 400, and then you get part of your bet back. You know what I mean? It's kind of like in each way when you do to take a guy winning the tournament, right? You get him at, say, he's 80-1. Then you get a quarter of the odds if he finishes top five. You know what I mean? So just something like that, a little bit of take back. But that was a good pick on Matsuyama. Too bad he didn't go a little bit lower.
Like you said, John Rahm, you could have used this last week, huh?
Yes, yeah. I feel like it's a day late dollar short. Like big story. Oh, John Rahm shoots an 8-under, no bogeys. Yeah, well, he also had the lead in the first round of the Open Championship. The guy missed like 5 putts under 6 feet. I started to know this might not be my week. He finished 11th, too. It's not like he played like total junk, but he just couldn't get over that hump, you know? No one was going to catch Lowry anyway. Even if he played his best, he probably would have been, you know, second or third behind Fleetwood, you know? So
I think I think Lowry's still partying right now.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The funny thing, he's like, oh, yeah, I'll play in this tournament this week. No. Then you see him at the Irish pub getting wasted. Guinness says, no. He like, wasn't.
Yeah. He tapped out of that.
Yeah, I'll play. No, sorry, I withdraw. I'm done. Want to hear the live odds in this tournament? I'm not sure if Rahm, the thing about Rahm, Gabe, is if people want him now and you want to live bet this tournament, I don't like his odds. Like, he's plus 333. That's not, he's 2-1. Like, that's just bad. I don't care. So he's got a 3-shot lead on Cantlay, and Matsuyama, Cam Smith, Bubba Watson. You know, those guys are only 3 shots back. It's a three more rounds of golf with no cut. Why would you bet John Rahm at 2-1?
No cut.
At the start of the tournament, he was 20-1.
That allows people to get hot. You're right. You're not out of it, obviously, with no cut. Yeah, yep. And John, is he really going to go wire to wire? No. Like you said, right now he's plus 200. Cantlay's plus 700.
Yeah.
Hideki's 10-1. Justin Rose. I think Hideki's going to be in a mix all week.
You know what? I hate to say it. I agree. Know what? I agree.
He's
going to
screw us on Sunday, though. Watch. He'll screw us if we take him, though. He's going to miss a couple of putts. He'll lose by 2 shots or something. Watch.
I'm going to tell you, this is the type of tournament he'll win, too. The FedEx St. Jude, not the big one. Less pressure.
I know.
I'm kind of with you.
That's why I said Shoffley.
Yeah.
Where's Shoffley, that son of
a
bitch? Where's
he? Yeah, that SOB is 1-under. Not good enough. Not good enough today. Hey, Gabbo, these kids in Springfield are a bunch of little SOBs. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, okay, Gabbo. You know what, Gabe? I'm with you. Like, I think Hideki's the guy.
You know what my favorite
is? I'm going to put 20 or 30 bucks down at 10-1.
When Burns is running for governor, it's one of the early ones.
Yeah.
And he's filming the commercial, and he doesn't realize that they're live. He's like, by the time I get through with this ad, that's the one when he goes, every Johnny Punch Clock and Susie Housecoat will be eating out of my hands. It's like, he starts, like, ripping them. Rahm, Rahm ain't winning. He's not going
to
hang on. Go wire to wire.
Hey, he could win, but it's just like we're doing a gambling show. We do a bet live show. That's not a good. That's a number that you can't endorse for three rounds of golf left. It's not a good number. I'd look at Hideki at 10, though. Three shots.
National still up 6-5 right now.
Good. I need them to win this damn game. That would be great. You know what the worst is? And I was going to tell you, too, right after Whale Capper, I was like, Gabe, run to the book and maybe take the Nationals. They were plus 145, and the over-under was 8.5. It's at 11 right now. And I like the over, too. You know me. I play a lot of unders. But that over was too low with both pitchers out and those bullpens. Colorado's bullpen's a train wreck, and the Nationals' bullpen is still a weakness to their club. So we got 11 runs in the top of the seventh right now.
That's right. In-game total is 13 in that game. You know what? We covered every game except for one.
Oh, yeah. We forgot Swanson dinners. Late night Swanson.
This is a Swanson dinner. This is a Swanson dinner of games, isn't it?
Because
I tell you, Swanson dinners suck.
They do.
Actually, they really are bad.
I will say the fried chicken one I've dealt with before.
Yeah.
And you gotta
cook the hell out of it. You can't put it in a microwave. You gotta cook the hell out of that chicken.
But another, and the turkey I've dealt with, but that slimy Salisbury steak, it just never feels like it's cooked enough. It's like, I like the gravy too. I'm like, well, you know, Swansea got a nice salty gravy there. It's just the chicken never feels cooked. The chicken's rubbery. The nuggets are gross.
Yeah, nuggets are horrible.
They're like sponge. They're like
I've gotten that stuff a few times, and the only thing I ate was like the corn and the brownie.
I like the The corn's
the
fine.
Corn's the niblets, good. Yeah, the corn's
the
good.
Are great. Yeah, and
you
the
put some
and
butter
the
in that. You put some butter in that corn. Oh, that's good corn.
I'll give them credit, though. Their little mini desserts are not the worst
part
of the dinner.
The little brownie's good. The little brownie's good.
Even the little cherries thing, I'm like, eh, whatever. I'm not a real fan, but I'll eat it. Yeah, the problem's the meat, not the other. The corn's always bad.
Yeah, meat's bad.
Yeah, my doctor said stay away from those.
And I tell you what's bad. I've eaten Popeyes twice here. And like the last 2 months, it sucked both times, man. It's terrible.
Rubbery chicken. Like, this is the problem that I remember we used to fight the millennials when we worked at the other shop by Morenci Studios there. And they'd come up to me. I go, guys, the thing that you don't understand, the texture of the chicken, like the way it rips off, it doesn't feel like real chicken. Their sides are good, though. I'll give them credit. Their taters and gravy are.
I think that happens when we get older, man. As we get older, like, you know, we don't eat Burger King no more, Taco Bell, Popeyes, like all that stuff starts tasting
different. Speak for yourself, gang.
No. What are you talking about, yeah?
Well, I mean, like, you know.
I was going to go to Taco Bell today, actually.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is I like KFC instead of Popeyes.
Oh, okay. I gotcha, buddy.
I'm not like you. I'm not a grandfather. I don't have to worry.
That's like saying you like the Burger King tacos better than Taco Bell.
I want to try those Burger King tacos, gang.
What's the difference? They're the same.
Can you give me a review? Because I'm listening. I'm going to buy one.
I don't know, man.
I'll be honest, Cam.
Are they bad?
I tried. I went to the Burger King on 7th. Yep. I went to the Burger King, and I said, you got those tacos? And they're like, yeah. But they screwed me. They don't have, like, a value menu. So I told them. I said, listen, all right, give me 3 tacos. But then I said, give me a drink and a fries too. She's like, that's $10.
It defeated the person.
I said, what do you mean $10? She goes, well, it's $3 for the fries and, you know, $2.50 for the drink or whatever. I'm like, and I'm not just buying the tacos, then I'm gonna be all thirsty. So I walked out and I went down the street to Taco Bell. I got 3 tacos, the nachos and cheese, and an all you can drink for $4.99.
That's better. I'm gonna give a shot.
Bargain shopping with Cam.
I'll tell you something, Yang. You could do it yourself, too. Just get ground. Yang's a healthy guy. You get ground chicken, a little bit of taco. You know the spices that they sell at the store. Ding, ding, ding. Do your own tacos. A little bit of cheese, lettuce, whatever you like.
I stay away from the chicken. I only eat turkey. Only jive turkey, though. It gotta be jive turkey.
So you don't eat meat either? You don't eat meat, Yang?
Yeah,
no steak,
I don't eat meat no more. Yeah, I cut all that stuff out, man. I eat falafel now. I even cut out animal crackers.
Wow. Gabe and I are in a different world than you, Yang. We eat a lot of different stuff. But
y'all got bowels of steel, baby.
They were talking about you, Yang, in the pit the other day. They're saying Yang goes to, like, Al's and gets, like, asparagus and stuff. And string beans.
Yeah, I had a string bean sandwich, buddy. That was pretty good. No
a
lie.
A string bean sandwich.
String bean sandwich? Oh, my
Dude,
God.
Dude, people on death row wouldn't eat a string bean sandwich.
I did. I took some toast, maybe, some string beans, and I threw that up inside the bread. I
you put a hell of gravy or anything on it? Like, what do you put on it? Like, just
what's going on with you? What are you doing?
You training, man. I'm just eating healthy, man. Like, I had a bad stomach pain, like, a few weeks ago, and the minute I stopped eating meat, I started feeling better. Yep. Yeah, it was just awesome.
Yeah, I'll
man.
Tell you, Yang, my stomach cleans change. Like, you put a couple quarters in my stomach, I'll split them out, and it'll be perfect. Morenci, he's not doing his way. I think, actually, Morenci's doing better than me. He used to eat really bad, but I think you've improved, Gabe. You're eating, you don't eat any of those frozen dinners anymore.
No, I don't, but I eat. I'm not, it's not great here, but my stomach's so strong. I could drink a bottle of Drano and I'll be fine.
I got a Coca-Cola right now. I should probably be having a green tea, but that's life.
You guys probably still eat White Castle.
Actually, I do, Yang. They serve it free at the casino that me and my girlfriend stay at in Vegas. They give you White Castle sliders when you're at the blackjack table. I just keep, I go nuts.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of a string bean sandwich before. Like, what the hell are you talking about, bro?
Sounds pretty good, though. String
I never heard of one either, Tom. I made it. It tasted pretty good.
Why don't you be like eat normal stuff, like hummus on pita or something like that, like normal people?
Yeah, I eat that, too. I eat that, too, buddy.
I eat that, too.
What about fish? You eat fish?
Yeah, I eat fish. But they told me not to eat too much fish because I may have too much mercury in my body. So
you like that red snapper?
Red snapper. I was going to eat one, and they served me the whole red snapper with the head on and still in. Disgusted by it, buddy.
I like my fish like my chicken, fried.
Picks. Calgary -5, Calgary +2 to the under 57.5. And me and Gabe got a four-game parlay. Angels, Eskimos,
Oilers.
Angels, and Oakland. Sorry, Gabe. Yankees, Boston, over 11. What do you got?
All right, give me the Stampeders and the Red Blacks under 50.5. Yankees, Red Sox over. Stampeders, Eskimos, Moneyline, Angels, A's, Parlay, as you know.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Here's what you missed on Game Time Decisions.
I am Gabe Morenci. We're throwing it down with Raging Redhead Cam Stewart. Whale Capper will join us in a couple of minutes. We're now 1 week away. 7 days from now at this time when we open up the show, we'll be saying we're just a couple hours away from the start of the National Football League preseason. Whale Capper steps up and in. Andrew McInnes will join us. We'll talk about the CFL doubleheader that's on tap. We've got baseball. We've got golf going on right now as we speak. And we've got the Raging Redhead Cam Stewart. What's up, Cam?
What's happening, Morenci? Yeah, no, it's going to be a busy afternoon for you, too. I'm looking at the Horse Race Channel. We got Del Mar going. We got Saratoga, Gulfstream, Arlington. The A-Tracks in full swing. You said it, CFL action tonight. Finally, we got two games on a Thursday night. Good call with you with the unders in baseball, too. That Cleveland-Toronto game under of the year, what a performance by Bieber and Stroman. If he is going to be dealt, a nice way to go out with a brilliant performance in a loss.
Yeah, it was. We cashed the under in that game, but we did lose a couple of totals. We should have just been riding that Yankees-Twins series to the over after what we saw in game one. But we forge forward. We should note, Cam, they canceled the rest of the races at Saratoga, so no winners.
Really? I just made some bets. That sucks. I better get my money back. I put some early action in. Oh, that blows.
Really?
What? Rain? Heat?
I believe extreme heat.
Oh boy, they're really being careful at that track. I got to hand it to the New York Racing Association because these other California tracks, there could be a hurricane and an earthquake, and these guys will still run. But Saratoga's not screwing around with the heat, and these horses, they really care about their equine friends, which is nice.
No, they're really not. They don't want They don't want to be California.
Exactly. You know,
they don't want to see what's going on in California. And also, they, you know, it's very, very, it's pretty stingy here. I was, you know, the Meadowlands where we're at right now, Cam, Jeff Gorrell is very, very stingy. Like, there's random tests. It's like lifetime bans if you screw around. But the New York, it's same thing. Look, it took forever to legalize MMA here. A lot of red tape in New York. They don't play around, but you're right. And you know what? It's nice to see they're erring on the side of caution. They'll race tomorrow. It is what it is.
Yeah, I got no problem with it. Still lots of action.
Severe thunderstorms.
Oh, thunderstorms. Right now, yeah, too. That's the thing. Horses will run in the slop, but you can't deal with light.
Days after excessive heat led to cancellations. Final seven races now canceled due to severe weather.
Be sure to follow all our social media at FNTSY Sportsnet and at FNTSY Radio.
And now I'm tweeting about you, bruh.